Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the leadership meeting we have come for tonight. We pray, Lord, that your word will enlighten us, will empower us in our engagement in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We pray you grant us the right attitude and the right disposition to receive your word, that may give your word to other people that we're teaching and training in Jesus' name. Let your spirit breathe on the word and give us light, give us understanding in the word in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, if you are excited about being in the leader's development tonight, I said, amen. God bless you. You can see that tonight we're coming to an important subject, and it's a subject of discipleship as well as disciple makers. We're disciples of Christ, and then we make disciples for Christ. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Apostles, these were the people sent out to preach, to make converts, to make disciples. They became fishers of men. Disciples, they were. They became disciples. That's why I'm talking tonight on progressing from discipleship to disciples. Disciples becoming disciple makers. And while those people become disciple makers, they remain disciples. Who are disciples? They're learners. They were first of all learners, and then they became leaders. They had to keep on learning to remain leaders. If you stop learning, you disqualify yourself from being a leader. Who are disciples? They're followers of Christ. And these followers of Christ were to become fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They keep on following. If you stop following, you disqualify yourself from being a fisher of men. Those two things have to go together. They were sheep in the fold. They were to become shepherds. If you stop being sheep, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. You are sheep, and then you become shepherds under Christ. But if you stop having the lowliness of the sheep, the attitude of the sheep, the followership of the sheep, you disqualify yourself, man or woman, you disqualify yourself from being a shepherd. These were people that were members of the body of Christ, from membership to ministry. And even though you're a minister, you remain a member. If you stop being a member, you disqualify yourself from being a minister. These were people that went on from ministering to mentoring. They were ministers, these disciples, and then they became mentors, like Paul mentored Timothy, like Moses mentored Joshua, like Elijah mentored Elisha. And you have to remain ministering and yielding to mentoring. If you stop being a minister, then you stop your ministry of mentoring. You see, they go together, and we cannot say, I am a disciple maker, I am a fisherman, I am a shepherd, I am a mentor, I am a minister, without remaining at the foundation of the calling we have, that you are a disciple, and then you continue in that until you become a discipler. Actually, disciples are the people that receive the word Christ preached, the word of repentance, and the word of salvation, and the people that gladly received. Those were the people that became his followers. And you move from being a receiver to being a reformer. The Lord does not want you to remain in the situation of, I am a receiver, I receive the word of God. He wants you to move on, make progress, so you become a reformer. That's why we're talking about progressing from discipleship to disciples. But once you stop receiving the word, if you rebel at the word of God, you react against the word of God. If the word comes straight to you, a man or a woman, and then you rebel against that, how did the pastor talk like that? What did the pastor preach like that? That illustration he gave is looking at my face and is pointing at me. I don't like that. And then you show in your action, in your attitude, that you rebel and you reject. If you stop being a receiver of the word, you cannot continue to be a reformer. How can you be a reformer when you are reacting rather than receiving the word of the Lord? That's the reason why discipleship is a lifetime learning. Discipleship is a lifetime of submission to the word of God. You are a disciple, you become a discipler, and then you continue being a disciple of the Lord. We're looking at Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. In Luke chapter 6 verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. That the master cannot talk to him anymore. The teacher cannot teach her anymore. And the preacher cannot bring the word to him, to her anymore. The disciple, the follower, the sheep, the member, and the minister in the church is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect, that's our goal. We're going on towards perfection. We don't want to remain static and remain at the foundation we have always been. We don't want to remain babes in Christ. We want to become believers that are growing. Because it's the believers who are growing that become builders. And you cannot be a builder if you do not continue believing. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and then others build thereupon. The builder is there, but you must remain a believer, believing the word and standing on the word all through your life, so you can be a wise master builder. And so we make progress, progressing from discipleship to disciples. And as long as we remain learning, we remain believing, as long as we remain following, as long as we're receiving the word, then the ultimate goal, being a fisher of man, being a disciple maker, being a discipler, being a builder, being a minister, being a mentor, being a counselor, being a helper, will continue in our ministries in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a good, good amen. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We're looking at 3 points as we look at the message today. Number one, the conversion and honest lifestyle of true discipleship. Number two, the consecration and higher love of trustworthy disciples. Then number three, the conformity to the heavenly Lord with time tested decisiveness. Let's look at number one. Number one is the conversion and honest lifestyle of true disciples. Let's look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, unto himself, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever, a man, a woman, a young person, an old person, a person that is about to cross over to the other side, to the great beyond, or a person that is just starting life, anyone, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Self will have to want to raise up its ugly head when a disciple, a learner, hears the word of God. We must beat that self down. Self-denial, self-discipline, self-determination, self-diligence, that you by yourself, you will know your heart. You know when that thing is rising up in your heart to go your own way, to do your own will, and to bring your own Adamic nature to the fore, to the front. And that is when you remember that if you are a disciple, anyone that will follow him will deny himself and deny herself and take up his cross and follow me. Three things we're looking at. Number one, conversion to true discipleship in humble lowliness. Number two, characteristics of transparent disciples with an honest life. Number three, conviction of transformed disciples under his lordship. Look at number one. Number one is conversion to true discipleship in humble lowliness. It tells us in Matthew chapter 18, reading from verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Conversion is the first experience. And conversion is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of disposition. You used to do this before, go this direction before. Now conversion means first you stop, you examine your life, you compare your life with the declaration, revelation of the Lord. Then you turn and you go the direction of the Lord. And you know, all of us, you, myself, everyone included, before we knew the Lord, if anybody spoke the truth to us, even about a minor thing, you know, you as a young person, somebody says, what kind of dress is this you are wearing? You get angry. It seems now if you are converted, you are born again, you don't get angry anymore. There's a change, there's a conversion. And if somebody brings correction to you and he says, what kind of thing is this that you are practicing? And the attitude you have, you don't rebel. If the pastor, for example, says, now the pastor is your teacher, is your leader, is your mentor, is your minister. If he says, when we say newcomers should stand up, there's nothing to clap about, you accept that. You don't have to say I disagree or I agree. You just accept he is your pastor, it's your leader, it's your master, it's your mentor, it's your minister, it's your shepherd. It's the one that leads you in the way of the Lord. And if he says any other thing, maybe about family matters and about the things we need to correct, don't get angry. Getting angry means we're not learners. And doing that thing that the pastor says, this is not right, that your teacher says, this is not right, your pilot to heaven says, that dress for you as a man, as a woman, is not good. You don't rebel, you don't react, and you don't wear that same thing and do that same thing to get at the pastor and get him. No, you can't get this person here, but if you're going to remain a disciple, a learner, a follower of Christ, you will do what the Lord has told you to do. It doesn't come easy. It comes with conversion. Your life is turned around. You've got the experience of conversion. And conversion makes us humble. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 4 there. In verse 4 it says, verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, humble herself as this little child. A little child knows he doesn't know anything about the world. Daddy and mommy were here before him. And so daddy says, this is how to live in the world. And this is how to talk in the world. And the child is humble. What does the child know about life on earth? The same thing now, we come into the kingdom. We've not seen heaven. We don't know heaven. We know heaven is there. Christ spoke about heaven. He revealed in his word that except we're converted, except we're born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We're humble and we take the word. We cannot recreate another word for ourselves to get to heaven. And so he says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I pray that change of life, that humility of life, that real conversion will get to every one of us in Jesus' name. Let the people shout amen. Amen. Acts chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore. That's what it takes to get converted, to be born again. There must be repentance. Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted. That's the first principle, and that's the first platform of getting to heaven. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If a person does not repent, if he hears the word of God, if he rebels against that word of God, if he turns a deaf ear to that word of God, He cannot be converted. His sins cannot be blotted out. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In verse 26, it tells us, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's the conversion. And it comes as we bend low and as we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And that is necessary for the beginning of the life of a disciple. And if one does not remain a disciple, a learner, in humility and holiness before the Lord, he disqualifies himself or herself from being a discipler, a disciple maker, or a fisher of men. In James chapter 5, we're reading from verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. If any of you believers do err from the truth, that's what we call backsliding. And one converts him. Somebody has to go to him. You know, if there's any believer in the church, a man, a woman, high, whatever the position, if you become so proud that nobody can approach you, nobody can talk to you, your disposition and your front shows that, don't talk to me, I'm above correction, you backslide, you perish. Because it says, brethren, children of God, followers of Christ, disciples of the Lord, if any of you do err from the truth, and one has to go to him, one has to go to her, and one convert him. Verse 20, it says in verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, he was one among us. He was a disciple. He was a follower. He was a child of God. She was a believer. But now, if she turns away from the truth we're unlearning, somebody has to be able to point out, if we are all afraid of him, if we are all afraid of her, who helps her? If we are all fidgeting and chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. The learners came unto him. The members of the body of Christ came unto him. The followers came unto the sheep that hear my voice. They came unto him. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is not neither, it is thenceforth good for nothing. When we lose the transparent life, the transformed life, the translatable life, the rapturable life, when we lose the life of the Christian, of the believer, and the sanctification and the humility of a learner, of a disciple, it says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I pray our savor, our saltiness, our whiteness like salt, will remain and abide in Jesus' name. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not your reactive action. That they may see your good works, not your proud resistance against the word of God. That they may see your good works, your righteous works, and your humble disposition, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I pray these characteristics of the true believer, the Lord will impart into our lives more and more in Jesus' name. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless every day, every moment. You don't know when the Lord will come. You're always thinking about the coming of the Lord. And you're thinking about getting to heaven. You're thinking about the fact that God is impartial. He's no respecter of persons. And he is going to judge according to the light you have. If you have light in your personal life, in your family life, and all that, you know the scriptures. If you don't live according to that light, he'll judge you according to the light you have. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He expects us to shine, and it's the life of righteousness that shines. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 10, here are the words of the apostle. He was a believer, and then he became a builder of the kingdom, a builder of the church. And he continued being a believer while he was a builder. Here is a disciple maker, Paul the apostle, but he remained a disciple. Here was a fisher of men, he remained a follower. If we're going to remain as a disciple maker, as a builder, as a reformer, we're going to remain as a person that is preaching the word of the Lord. We must remain as receivers of the word. We must remain as people that are submissive to the word of God. Look at his life. It says, ye are witnesses and God also. How holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. He didn't say, I'm a minister now, I'm a preacher now, I'm a leader now. And so, as a leader, I'm no more a learner. As a preacher, I'm no more a possessor of the holiness and righteousness without which no man shall see the Lord. I am now a pioneer, and as a pioneer, I don't have to, you know, follow the word of God. He said, no, we remain disciples, We remain people that are shining for the glory of God. We remain in the word of God. It is our obedience to the word of God, our response to the word of God, our humility as we receive the word of God. That's what qualifies us to remain leaders in the kingdom. How? Ye are witnesses, and God also. How? Holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Let's come to number three there. Number three there is the conviction of transformed disciples under his lordship. You become a preacher, you remain under his lordship. You become a leader, you become a mentor, you become a counselor, you become a prayer warrior, you become somebody leading other people, counseling other people. You remain under his lordship. Conviction of transformed disciples under his lordship. Look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. The wind may blow this way, the wind may blow the other way. He purposed in his heart he will not defile himself. Laws and ordinances of Babylon may come this way and come that way. Nebuchadnezzar may raise up something disagreeable to his faith. He may be threatened, but he purposed in his heart. That's what the Lord is expecting, that we remain under his lordship. Babylon may come to power, we remain under his lordship. Another ideology may come to power, we remain under his lordship. Something may be corrected directly in our lives, we don't get angry, we remain under his lordship. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We look at Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And he called them, and he commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They commanded them. Christ had given his own command to the disciples, and he had said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christ had given his own disciples, and Christ was number one in their lives. And Christ had said, you go ye into all the world, preach this good news, glad tidings of repentance, of faith in Christ, of conversion, of salvation by grace. Preach that to everyone. Knock out their circumcision. And then these circumcision people now called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You see, does that happen today? It happens today. Religious people who have an idea that if you talk about holiness and you spell it out, you make it practical, you make it pungent, you make it piercing, the people that do not like that, they have a way. You know, there's normal language, there's also body language that would say, shut up, stop that, don't say that anymore. I don't want to say holiness to that level. And because they don't want holiness to that level, they want to hinder the rest of us multitudes hearing the word of holiness. They say they have chosen to go their own way, and they want to muzzle the mouths of the preacher by their action, by their reaction, so that as they do not want to have practical, pungent, piercing holiness, other people too will not hear. But if we are disciple makers, and if we are following after the Lord, all those Pharisees and all those whatever their titles are, that come to shut up our mouth, look at what we tell them. Verse 19. In verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Then in verse 20, it says in verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29. In verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to be God rather than men. Somebody say amen. Amen. I pray you'll have that same grace and that same boldness and that same courage and that same presence of mind, that when anyone, anywhere, whatever their status, whatever their position, when they tell you to compromise what you know in the word of God, you'll be able to look at them, whatever they will do, whatever they will deny you of, you'll be able to tell them, we ought to obey God rather than men. You will have the grace. I will have the grace. And we'll continue emphasizing and teaching the word of God without bulging, without trembling, and without cringing before anybody in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number two now. Point number two, the consecration and higher love of trustworthy disciples. We're coming to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He wants us to have a higher love for him. Father and mother did not die for us on the cross of Calvary. Father and mother did not provide salvation and eternal life for us by suffering and losing their lives. Because of that, he who has granted us forgiveness and freedom, salvation, eternal life, and what will get us to eternity with him, with God, to heaven, we have to love him higher. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Three things. Say, number one, the higher love of consecrated disciples of Christ. If we're disciples of Christ, we must be consecrated unto him. Number two, the holy life of circumcised disciples of Christ. Number three, the harvest labor of compassionate disciples of Christ. Look at number one. Number one, the higher love of consecrated disciples of Christ. It tells us in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. It's telling us in plain language, love him, your God, Christ, your Redeemer, and love his word, and love his work, and love everything pertaining to Christ more than father or mother. And then he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's plain. Love Christ, the Savior. Love his word. Love his work. Love his will above son or daughter. It tells us in John chapter 21, verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than these fish you have caught? He gave them the fish. He told them, throw your net there. It was his provision. He wants you to love the provider more than the provision. He wants you to love the one who has answered your prayer more than the answered prayer. He wants you to love the Redeemer who redeems your soul more than the one who has healed your body or filled your stomach, your belly with food. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You have to show the love. Love above yourself. Love him above what you delight in. And you have to show that his love is uppermost in your life before you can remain a leader. You might remain a leader nominally. You might be there, but heaven will not reckon with you if you love yourself above the Lord. You love the fish above the Lord. You love your will above the Lord. And you love your own sentiments. That's what I want you to do. And you're going your own way. You love your own ways above the ways of the Lord. You might remain there as a nominal leader, man or woman, anybody. If you love yourself and love the things of the world above the Lord, to remain a leader, to remain a discipler, to remain a shepherd, and to remain a trainer, training other people, you have to show that you love the Lord above anything pertaining unto you. We're looking at number two there. Number two there is the holy life of circumcised disciples of Christ. The holy life of circumcised disciples of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself for it. Hold on. Husbands, love your wives. We must not interpret one verse of scripture to contradict another verse of scripture. Christ has said, if you love your father or your mother, your son or your daughter, obviously your wife or your husband above me, above Christ, you are not worthy to be a disciple. Love your wives as long as that love does not lessen or lower your love for the Lord. Your wife did not die for you to give you eternal life. Your husband did not love you to give you eternal life. The one who has given you life eternal. The one who has given you salvation, redemption, forgiveness, freedom, and has given you a life to live that will take you to heaven. That's Christ. You must love Christ above your wife. Love your wife. Be nice to your wife. But if your wife wants you to deny Christ, your wife or your husband wants you to lower your commitment, consecration to the Lord, that's where that's the limit of that love. You love her, but you know, heaven is personal. The wife will go to heaven by herself, by her salvation and sanctification and holiness, without which no woman shall see the Lord. The husband will go to heaven by himself. Even if you die together the same day, each person will give an account of himself unto the Lord. And so, you still love the Lord more than husband or wife or child or anyone. And then it says in verse 26, it says, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And then in verse 27, it tells us, it says that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the kind of life the Lord expects of the circumcised disciple of Christ. Number three now. Number three, the harvest labor of compassionate, committed disciples of Christ. Matthew chapter 9, we're looking at verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, we're reading from verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Because of that, Jesus said, verse 37, it says, then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He wants us to be involved in the labor of harvesting souls into the kingdom of God. It tells us in John chapter 4, reading from verse 34. John chapter 4, reading from verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My desire for food is less than my desire for winning the lost unto the Lord. My desire for the pleasure of the flesh, my desire for the satisfaction of my hunger, is less than my desire for winning souls into the kingdom. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the same attitude he wants in you and in me. We have desires, desire to succeed in life. Make that less than your desire to harvest souls into the kingdom. We have desires, desires to succeed, desires to prosper, desires to build there and build there. Lessen that desire. Let that desire be subject under your desire to do the will of God and to have souls into the kingdom. We have desire to get married, have a wife, have a husband. Let that desire be subdued under the desire to serve the Lord. We have desire to have children. You want five children, you've been having girls, now you want boys. A good desire, subject that desire to the desire of winning souls for the Lord. Now there are people that will say, how can I go out and win souls? How can I go out and preach? And people will ask me, you're married, you don't have children. And because of that, they will not go out and evangelize. What a shame, what a shame. The desire you have for anything on earth should be subject to and submissive under and less in and less than any desire for anything in life. Sometimes, you know, we decide we're going to serve the Lord without any rival. We're going to serve the Lord without blinking an eye. And then a friend, bosom friend, will say, I see you've chosen the way of, you know, a pastor, a fanatic, and you are here and there. If you don't cut that off, that seriousness and that kind of bold, aggressive evangelism, I can't be your friend anymore. Because that's not my direction. That's not my way. And then you shake and you say, what will life be for me if so and so is not a friend, if he or she is not in my life? Let him go. Let her go. The word of Christ, the work of Christ, the harvesting of souls is greater than any other person here on earth. You must not allow any relationship with anybody to come between you and the work he has given you to do. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That will be your will. That will be your desire. And that will be your normal life. Whoever reacts against you, whoever cooperates with you, they have their choice. Anybody wants to be angry against you, they have their choice. They're free. Anybody wants to persecute you, they're free. That's their action. Anybody wants to contradict you by their voice, by their outlook, that's all right. You are the one to make up your mind that whatever happens, whatever wind may blow, you have signed your life for the Lord. And nobody will come at this late hour to change your conviction in Jesus' name. Look at verse 35 there. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And then in verse 36, it tells us, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Verse 37, it says, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And then verse 38, I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I pray that this labor in harvesting will consume your life completely in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, reading from verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding They retire in the world because that's the work of the world. And it's good in the world. They say you are old now, number one. You need to think about the rest of your life. Where will you spend eternity? We don't want to keep you here in this secular world. You need to think about the future. And you need to plan for the future. You have not had time to think about your soul, about your spirit, about your destiny. Why don't you leave this and retire? Many of the people who retire, they don't understand that language. They go to look for another job that will even take more of their time, and they have no chance to think about eternity. They have no chance to think about their own soul. They don't have any chance to think about preparation and readiness for heaven. But you know, the work of God is different. In the work of the Lord, we don't retire. Why? Because we're always thinking about our future. We don't have to leave the work. In fact, the more we stay on the job in serving the Lord, the more we read the Bible, the more we learn about heaven, the more we learn about the qualification to get to heaven, and the more we remain and we don't retire, the more we read more of the Bible, we understand the Bible more, we're able to check our lives, we're able to pray as we're encouraging other people to get ready for life everlasting, which you were, you know, preparing ourselves. And if there is any hindrance between us and getting to heaven, why we read the Bible, why we preach to other people, why we counsel other people, why they talk about their problems and we try to give them solution, then we wake up and we say, my situation is like that, it's like that man's, and my situation is like that, the size of that woman's work, and therefore we wake up ourselves and we don't retire. You know, if you retire, you'll forget some of the things you have learned. If you're not using what you have, you'll forget some of the things you have learned. When you retire and you're no more coming to the leaders' meeting, you're not coming to the workers' training, all we're learning, all the Lord is, you know, chipping out of our lives, you will miss all that. And so we remain in the work of the Lord unmovable. And you remain in the work of the Lord unmovable. And so it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, what does that mean? Because of verses 51 and 52, the rapture will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Therefore, because death will be swallowed up. Therefore, because the coming of the Lord is imminent. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your laziness will be in vain. Your idleness will be in vain. Your loafing and not concentrating on the work of the Lord will be in vain. If you push the labor aside and you are loafing and you are lazy, what are you going to reward? What are you going to have as reward on the final day? It says that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen for the church. Amen, amen for your life. Amen. Come to point number three now. Point number three, the conformity to the heavenly Lord with time-tested decisiveness. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. The master, the Lord Jesus Christ, remained under the teaching of the Father until he left this world. He didn't feel, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Word personified, I'm the miracle worker, I'm the Savior of the whole earth. So, Father, you are eternal, I'm eternal. Father, You gave the word through those prophets. Me now, I'm here. I'm the word personified. The master submitted to the Father until the very last breath. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And I always do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That's the master. That's the Messiah. That's the Lord. And if we are his disciples, the disciple, a man or a woman, a brother or a sister, a daddy, like they call some of us, or a mommy, like they call some of us, the disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We're going towards and progressing towards perfection. We don't want anything in our lives that will make us different from the Lord, from the Master, from the Messiah. The conformity to the heavenly Lord with time tested decisiveness. Three things here. Number one, submissive cross bearing with the crucified Lord. Number two, striking conformity to the conquering Lord. Number three, steadfast continuity under the controlling Lord. Number one, submission, submissive cross-bearing with the crucified Lord. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It says, then said Jesus unto the disciples, his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what he has commanded. And you know, when he started following him the first year, the second year, he didn't change his requirement. He didn't change his standard. He didn't alter. He didn't say, the first year, this is what I said, that discipleship demanded, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Now, this is second year. I make it relaxed. No. The same thing he said at the beginning. He said, until the end. And when he was leaving, he said, you go teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The commandments of the Lord do not lend itself to modification, to subtraction, to addition, to mutilation, to adulteration. And the same standard it still keeps today, that if any man, if any woman will come after him, the Christ, let him deny himself. Let me ask you, have you denied yourself of anything recently? What you love, which is against what we're all learning, what you desire, what you like to do, your own way that is contrary to the way of holiness. Have you denied yourself recently at all? Or whatever comes to your mind, whatever you like to do, I like that, I want that, I desire, I delight in that. And then I just go on. And the rest of the people might be saying, why is this brother acting like that? Why is this sister acting like that? Why is that youth acting like that? Why is that girl acting like that? And they cannot see beyond their own will that if we're going to follow the Lord, you deny yourself, you take up your cross. It might be heavy, it might bring some discomfort. Take up the cross. That's why some young people, they say they are saved. Then they said, Mommy, I cannot live in this house anymore. And don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Don't browse that, don't browse that. I cannot say anymore. They cannot deny themselves of what Daddy, Mommy, what they are telling her, what they are telling him. He wants to go and live somewhere where he will have all his liberty and where he will not have to deny himself of anything. But if we're going to remain the cross-bearing disciples of Christ, of the crucified Lord, we deny ourselves, we take up the cross, and we'll follow the Lord. I will follow the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, reading from verse 23. It says, and he said unto them all, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. Let him take up his cross daily. It might be a little bit heavy, a little bit of discomfort there, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In a place of work, there may be a cross for a faithful disciple. And in the home, there may be a cross for a faithful disciple. And as we're moving on and going on, the immature ones might try to make the cross of the ministers heavy. All the same, it says, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. I pray the Lord will give all of us grace, that we will not shirk or will not drop the cross, and then we will not run away from the battlefield. We'll keep on serving the Lord without compromise in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number two there now. Striking conformity to the conquering Lord. Striking conformity. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 29. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 29. It says, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed to the image of his son. That as the son submitted wholeheartedly and completely, without any interruption, and without any inhibition, as the Son submitted to the Father, so he makes us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're coming to number three here. Number three, steadfast continuity under the controlling Lord. John, reading from chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. There's no terminal point. If ye continue in my word. There is no growing so old now. I've been 10 years in the kingdom. I've been 20 years in the kingdom. I've been 40 years in the kingdom now. I'm at liberty to do whatever I want, contrary to the word of the Lord. If he continue in my word until the end, then are ye my disciples indeed. Already you are disciples as you continue in the word. In the word of his salvation. In the word of his grace. In the word of his holiness. In the word of submission and obedience. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. Already, everything you have heard, you continue. But that's not the end of the truth. You do not have the whole thing yet is in the Word. It's as we come and come and come and submit ourselves to the Lord that we now know more, we know more. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from self-will. Free from sin. Free from satanic domination. And free from societal influence. Free to be totally committed unto the Lord without anything hindering us to obey the Lord anymore. We're disciples as we continue. As we continue in the Word that saves, the Word that sanctifies, the Word that strengthens us. And then the more we know, the more grace we have. The more we know, the more strength we have. The strength of last year will not be sufficient for the strength of today as we know more. And more things are revealed unto us. Then we have more grace, we know more, we have more, we possess more, we are strengthened more, we are given the grace of God more, and the power of the new revelation the Lord gives unto us. You know more, therefore you have more strength and more power to be obedient to the Lord. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll be free. I said you'll be free. And anything that is tied around your legs, like the devil saying, you're running too fast, and he's pulling that rope, don't run that fast, the Lord will cut off that rope. Yeah. And society and your office saying, you've been here in this office before, and now you look more vocal this new year than you were last year, and you seem to be like you're on fire this year, and the fire is burning, and it's a little bit, it's giving us some heat and some discomfort, and then you're trying to pull the rope, God will cut that rope away from you. People saying, don't be so serious, and don't be so holy, and don't be so fiery. And then they try to, you know, calm you down. All the things that tie you down, all the things that will inhibit you, all the things that will not allow you to fly high, all that, the Lord will take it away from your life in Jesus' name. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. From tonight, free. 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 Rise up and tell the Lord you've had a lot today and you want all that to be part of your life. Now you are telling the Lord, oh Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am. I want to have this freedom, the freedom to obey the Lord and be a disciple of the Lord without anybody being able to slow you down or to stop you. Talk to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord will strengthen you and make you the man, the woman you ought to be in Christ.